It has now been 104 days since the Haudenosaunee people of Six Nations reclaimed a piece of land sold by the Canadian government to Henko Industries, a developing company that proceeded to clear-cut the land and begin constructing an upper-middle-class suburb that was to be named Douglas Creek Estates. Located in southeastern Ontario, Six Nations of the Grand River Territory is home to six different Indigenous nations: Mohawk, Cayuga, Onondaga, Oneida, Seneca, and Tuscarora. The reserve is also home to over 25,000 people and has been referred to as the Sleeping Giant. Since February 28th, when women and men took over the site, setting up tents and teepees and nonviolently reclaiming what is theirs, the Sleeping Giant of Six Nations has woken up and is standing strong against the encroachment of further settlement on their land. The land reclamation operation is another result of a treaty that has been disregarded by the government. In the case of Six Nations, it is the Haldimand Proclamation of 1784, a treaty signed between the Haudenosaunee people and the British Crown that has since been ignored. Brian of Six Nations spoke about the Haldimand Proclamation and its significance. Can we talk a little bit about the Haldimand Proclamation?
This land right issue stems from the Haldimand Treaty, which was a direct result of our participation in the Revolutionary War. People don't understand that our homelands were in central, eastern, and western New York, Ohio, parts of Pennsylvania. That was our vast homeland. We essentially gave that up when we sided with the British in the Revolutionary War, assisting them in stopping them at what is now the Canada-US border. Ontario could have been, the 14th state without our help, I guess. That's one way to look at it. So as a result of Britain's loss, we were forced to secede. Most of our homelands in New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. So we had to move somewhere. There are still reserves out there, still small little patches of the areas are still in New York. And some moved out to Oklahoma, some moved to Wisconsin, some moved to Quebec. They moved all everywhere. The majority were promised lands in compensation. Some went to Belleville, the area of Belleville up there. They wanted to give us a vast track up there, but it wasn't similar to what we were from. The agriculture wasn't very, very good there. And we had always used this area here, historically, for hunting and trapping. So we were familiar with it. So we said we wanted this river, the Grand River. And 6 miles on either side is what was promised from the source to the mouth of the river, in compensation for New York State. What has since happened is it's been stolen from the small, back then it would have been a large group of Native people here, but as the Native population stayed the same and the more and more non-Native immigrants came in, they were soon overpopulated and they couldn't maintain the area. So squatters would just take over vast areas of land, and the government would say, okay, we bought it off the Native people. So when this original area here, this road, which had always been a trail, a traditional trader's trail, was turned into the plank road, they promised that they would pay for a half mile on either side. And that specifically relates to this reclamation, because it was never, first of all, it was never agreed to by the Confederacy Council. When they said they were going to take it anyway, and the Indian agents of the time said that they had to accept compensation because they're going to do it anyway. What they got were 14 signatures, not all of them were hereditary chiefs. And those that would have signed it were either under duress of some state. So it was never legally done. And there's letters that support that. And it was always understood that it was never properly done, never legally done, and there was never ever compensation for it anyway. I guess that's the whole the reclamation in a nutshell is this was part of that Plank Road, I guess, settlement or dispute. The Indian Act has within its own process land claims, just in that broad general sense that if an Indian nation has a dispute about what the legal ownership of land, they call it a land claim. What this is, we're trying to stay out of the Indian Act, out of the whole that political system, that structure, which is so difficult to deal with, because you're trying to fight a government, and in order to do the land claim process, you have to go to court. And you have to go to court and you have to win against a Canadian court, against the Canadian government, which is an impossibility. And if you do, or if you are granted if the land claim is actually found to be valid, they get to decide what will your compensation will be. It's never about, you'll never get the land back. You'll get money. And although everybody thinks money is the greatest thing on earth, it isn't. Children are, but children need land to live on. And that's what this is about, children. This unique situation that we're dealing with now is going outside the Indian Act. The Indian Act is Canada's policy on how to deal with Native people that they inherited their treaties with from Britain. When Canada became its own country, Britain said, you have to deal with these treaties because we made them with these people in order for you to have a country. So they said, okay, if we're going to deal with these Native people, then we're going to have a policy, and they have to, and everything that they have, they say, will have to fit into this policy. And that's where the land claim process it takes place. And it's a long, drawn-out thing where the average one is, 20 years, 30 years long. We're stepping outside of that and calling this a land right issue, not a land claim issue. Land rights, following the understanding of human rights, we understand that lands have rights also. And this is rightfully ours, so we're not going to back down from accepting nothing less.
On April 20th, the Ontario Provincial Police attempted to evict the Indigenous people of Six Nations from the reclamation site. Despite their excessive use of force, beating people, shooting them with taser darts, and arresting 16 people, the police failed to kick off the people of Six Nations from their land. In response to the violence which was faced by the Canadian state, the people of Six Nations erected more barricades in and around the reclaimed land. Indigenous people and allies drove in from all over the country to show their support, man the barricades, or work in the cookhouse. Since then, the provincial and federal government representatives have entered into negotiations with the Haudenosaunee Confederacy Council. This marks the first time that the government has recognized the Confederacy since the implementation of the Band Council system, along with the Indian Act. Within the process of these negotiations, the Haudenosaunee have faced many ultimatums. The government has refused to continue negotiations unless barricades come down. On May 24th, the people of the land reclamation removed a roadblock on Argyle Street as a sign of good faith to both the government as well as the people of Caledonia, who were being largely portrayed as victims by the mainstream media because of a 15-minute detour as a result of one of the roadblocks. The following interviews are with some of the Indigenous people who are either from Six Nations or other reserves, who preferred to only give their first name.
This is all our land. It's not theirs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We opened the road for Caledonia people to get back and forth. We understand how it is to be behind a roadblock. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we wanted that road open so that we could continue our lives, our people from Six Nations. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not because of the police at all. It's because of our relationship with the other people in these territories.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that anything was gained from taking down one of the roadblocks on the street?
I think what happened was the tension has eased a little bit from the police, mm-hmm. because of Caledonia people from outside influences, like from Toronto or from a different different areas, came here and was inciting the riots over in Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it was Caledonia people, because I know that there's some people there that are that know what's going on and that are
supportive
mm-hmm. of the struggle that's here. They've lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Caledonia people lived here, and
mm-hmm.
they know what Six Nations is about. Some people voice their opinion a little loudly, you know, that's fine. You know, we don't have no problems with anybody doing that. Nobody does. So now they took the roadblocks down, and we got all these police here enforcing some laws that are foreign to us, our Six Nations.
I think it's by taking the roadblock down, I think they're taking a little bit more. Now you got them enforcing their laws on the land. Now you got them sitting a little bit closer. Now you got them a little bit more everywhere. I'm all for putting the roadblock back up.
Yeah. I would say not only that, is because when we took it down, we had three things. If they said that we took it down, we got these three
mm-hmm.
pieces that they said we're gonna
mm-hmm.
get. The birch land, that moratorium so that they can't build here, and money to get this archaeological dig.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're saying they're not gonna do it. So if they, we took it down not once, but twice.
Yep. In good faith.
In the good faith. We showed that good faith twice.
And there's been 5 mediation meetings and no progress. They're wasting time.
Yeah, that's what
stalling.
It is. They're stalling again. But I don't think people realize that we're not gonna go nowhere. Like, they're kind of waiting to see, let's play this waiting game. How long can they last?
They're playing games, because
mm-hmm.
yesterday there was a thing in the news that they're gonna be investigating people with the towers and with the roadblocks and
kidnapping.
All these different things that are coming up that they have no say in, because this is our territory. This
mm-hmm.
is our land.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go. We're not going over to Caledonia and telling
mm-hmm.
them how to run their community. No, that's what they're doing to us. It's another game that they're playing, a pressure tactic to try to get more people on here. And no, we're not leaving. This is our homes, and this is, we're going to build on this land. This isn't the end. This is only the beginning.
That's right. This is so pivotal, too. I find that this reclamation is so pivotal for Indigenous people on Turtle Island, because we are going through the clan mother system, the traditional ways. It needs to go on nation to nation, and not their Canadian agent band council, the Indian Act band council, because all they are puppets of Canada. That's all. You're paid by Canada, you're a puppet of Canada, you know? And so this is pivotal. I'm here for the long haul. We got men here who have families back home. People have sacrificed so much to be here. And that's what they don't understand. It's their language, their laws, their democracy, their loopholes. And I don't think they realize how serious we are and how much international support we have.
So you guys don't really expect anything to come of the negotiations, based on like what you guys said. And I mean, do you have any faith left in the Canadian state at this point?
Never did.
I was going to say, did we ever?
Yeah. They've been lying to us for 500 years. We give a little, and they keep taking. It happened when they first landed. When settlers first came, we worked with them, and they wanted more and more and more and more and more. And we keep giving a little, and they keep taking a little. Well, we're tired of giving.
You give an inch, they want a mile.
And do I have faith in the Canadian state? I don't believe in anything they say. I don't think their final objective is to assimilate all natives into mainstream society. We've got the Indian Act with it, which institutes genocide.
Yeah, they have the Chinese Act? Do they have any other country have that act?
Well,
the Indian Act.
Yep.
Just
yeah.
natives.
We're looked at like wards of the Canadian state. Do I have faith in Canada? No. It's not my system, it's their system. They're the invaders. You know, I don't mind having a cohesive relationship with them, but they need to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man in
Akwesasne.
His name is Jake Ice. He stood up against the band council coming in to the territory. And when that happened, RCMP officers shot him twice, killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And they buried him, and now there's a band council in Akwesasne. They were fighting to keep the band council, the foreign government, in our territory. And here they killed a man to get that council in there. And here we are today. dealing with band council every day. Mm-hmm. We at every turn that we do, there's a band council. There's somebody from the band council standing there saying that we're going to negotiate with the Canadian government. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute here. You are the Canadian government.
That's right.
How can you negotiate with somebody that's your own government?
Your paycheck.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, band council is okay, but they just need to be an administrative. They should have no power. They should have no say. They should have no control. Mm-hmm. They should just be an administrative body. That's it. Same with that Phil Fontaine, Assembly of First Nations. Now he's becoming a part of corporate Canada. Now the Assembly of First Nations is looked at as corporate Canada. He's looked at as a national chief. You can't homogenize our nations. We're individual nations. And he does not represent anybody. He's paid by Canada. He doesn't represent anybody. He does crap. You know? Mm-hmm. They talk about our leaders. Well, they need to know who our leaders are on a nation-to-nation basis. And I think they forget that the Ginyagahaga people have been fighting ever since they arrived. And we're undefeated. We're undefeated.
Back to this land reclamation operation, why did you guys choose to be here?
For me, personally,
it's because my house is just not even a quarter mile away from this site here. I got little ones, my nieces and them. They're all small, under the age of 4. Somebody's gonna protect them. You know, I got my mom's a single parent. She's out here. So somebody's gonna be here to help people. So I figured that's kind of what made up my mind of if I'm gonna be here or not. My grandma, they took over band council. They took band council out in their time. My great-great-great-grandfather, he got marched out at gunpoint out of band council with RCMPs, and they just let him go. But I think this time we finally had enough. Like, we're putting up that resistance now instead of just laying down and say, okay, go ahead. You know, and it's hopefully my nieces and my children don't have to do this.
Why did you choose to be here?
For every reason that she just said. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's out here. And we were asked from Uncle Zussner to be here. And the same night we were asked, we were here. Before the sun come up, we were here. And we continue to be here with the faith that we're all gonna work together. We're all working together for the same purpose. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is the land. Mm-hmm. And the second line is our way of life. We're fighting for our way of life, and I'm here to protect and to help all the different nations, like the Mi'kmaqs, and you know, out west, there's Salish and all kinds of people that are looking towards Six Nations. Mm. Six Nations is the key point where the fight is really fighting. This is the front lines right here, and we're gonna fight it the best way we know how, and we're gonna continue.
I think we're at war. We're at war. Canada has declared war on Indigenous people. And I'm here as a soldier. I'm here as a supporter for the people in the community. I'm here to help our men who are on the front lines, who are putting their lives on the lines. People don't seem to realize that. We have men that are prepared to die here. I'm prepared to die here. I don't give a crap. You know, I'm here. I'm here for the land, I'm here for the people, I'm here for the men, and I'm here because Canada has declared war on Indigenous people.
Do you guys, as women, want to talk about the role of women here at the site?
The role of the women, it's more of a traditional role. The role of a traditional women, what we're supposed to soften our men's hearts when they're getting hard and ready to war. We're supposed to be there and stand with them. Not beside them, not behind them and not in front of them, but beside them. We cook, get the food ready for them. Just more or less stand right with them.
Mm-hmm.
Be there for them every way we can. And like when it comes down to it, the men do protect the women. Because that's how they say, like, our way there, they tell us that's where our blood comes from, it's from the women.
Mm-hmm.
The women carry the babies, so that's where our blood comes from. And that's what the men are here to do, is protect the women.
Mm-hmm.
But, we have more roles that we're all equal either way. We're not saying one's better than the other, but we're just here to support our men and not let them be by themselves and stand alone. Let them know they're not by themselves.
Yeah, I think for me, for the way I see my role is, you know,
We've got men who've been here a long time. They're away from their families. They got new babies. They got this, they got that, and they're here. And sometimes our men who take this stance, sometimes our communities turn their backs on them. And I wanted, after when these conflicts are over, and I want our men to know that they're doing a really good job. And I'm here for them. I'm here to make sure, I'll do anything. Because they are putting their lives at risk for the land, for the people, for me. And I just want to be here for support, to let them know I'm behind you, I support you, I believe in you, and I'm there. You know, if they go down, I'll pick right where they start. You know, if they've gone down, they're injured, whatever, I'll be there. I'll take over if they fall.
How do you guys feel that the mainstream media has treated not only this situation, but the indigenous people of this land as a whole?
I think mainstream media has treated this situation the way mainstream society has, and they will take pieces of what they think. They have an objective as a journalist or whatever, right? And, you know, we've always been portrayed as terrorists or, you know, ooh, the bad natives or whatever. I don't have a whole lot to say on that, just that I don't think mainstream media...
I think dealing with the media in the past, I look at the American media, they haven't produce anything what's going on with the natives in Canada or USA. We don't hear nothing that what's happening in the States. In Canada, it's the same thing. What it is patriotism. They think they're so great, and they think they're so good that they go to the UN and say that their human rights are so such a good country to live in. No. It's not. It's terrible to live like this. You hear all these stories of people committing suicide and all these the drug problems and alcohol problems. Well, how do you fix those things, you know? There's a lot of things that we're working on. It's not just blockades. We're helping the communities. And with this strength, with the strength of this blockade, this land reclamation has brought people together. There's people that in different territories are talking to each other now. I went home to Akwesasne and I noticed that the community was coming together because of Six Nations, and that's 6 hours away. And here they are banding together for the purpose of Six Nations. Now, because they're doing that, because they know we're here, they get all the information from us. They see little bits and pieces on the media, but they don't tell the full story. They never tell the full story. There's an incident happens, they tell the police incident, and then they show a little spot of the native incident that happened. And it's portrayed like we're the villains around here. Mm-hmm. Patriotism. You know, we're patriot too, to our natives, to all natives on this continent, not just not just Six Nations. Now, if we had our media, if APTN would be here, or you know, if we had a big story like this, like you're doing this now, hopefully it'll get out there stronger, you know, to the truth. Everybody needs to hear the truth, not just our natives. Where does this start? You know, just talking. I think talking about it is going to help. People will hear this and realize that it's not a thing that we're just doing out of a small piece of land. This is a big thing that we're doing. This is going to start our nation, our nations of Ongwehun, our native people. They have to deal with us. They have to deal with us now. If not, It's going to get worse for them, not worse for us. The mainstream media, I hope that someday that they'll be objective and really get both sides of the story. But as I've seen, every time something happens or every time a native stands up, it's always negative that they show. And look at us, we're all positive here. We're trying to be very, very positive, trying to work together. And look at what we've done. We took the roadblock, part of the roadblock down so that they can travel freely. I mean, we got the bypass blocked off, but that's just a bypass. The cars can go around Caledonia. That's what they're mad about. I mean, come on. Let's. They got a road that's open. They can travel freely. Mm-hmm. We're not blocking anybody.
Yeah.
We know it's our land, and we're standing up for it. I mean, this isn't. This is just a small piece of it. This is a postage stamp compared to what we're looking towards.
We had a school teacher from Scarborough that came down, and she teaches 10th grade history, and they're doing their Native Studies unit. And this was going on, and they're watching all the news media and everything. And one of her friends told her, "It's nothing like that. They're not violent. Go down there and watch. Go down there for a day. Spend one day down there, and you'll see what they're like." So she came on a Saturday, and she went back to school Monday, told those her grade 10 students, "Everything you see on the news is wrong. They're not violent. They're not carrying weapons. I walked in there, they were happy I was there. They were happy that people came to support them. They have mass support from all people, and they're not sending them away." She actually got them to write support letters we have. I sent them out to all the sites there. A lot of those kids agree. And they help want us to help somehow in Scarborough to try to help us. And they're hoping that this gets settled and they understand why we're doing it. But they said the media is rearing us so wrong, like we're criminals. Mm-hmm. We're criminals on our own land. We're terrorists on our own land. And when they first start watching the media, they were saying we were wrong. But when the teacher came back and told them how we were, they liked the way we were doing it, that we were peaceful people. We're not going around carrying weapons and clubs and just wrecking everything we see. And so that's what she thought, that it was better that somebody gets it out that we are what we say we are. We don't got no weapons. The only weapons around here are on that road.
Your cops have the gun. That's our weapon.
Right now, the only reason why the parliament and all that's fighting is because the news media was here. But yet, you look at all the rest of the natives, some of them been fighting 40 years for land.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're here and we're joining with them and they're joining and everybody's joining together as a unity, Canada has no choice mm-hmm. no more. It's straight out, either deal with us as a nation to nation, everybody, or we just override.
If Canada does deal with all these claims to land, then Canada will only be just a little piece.
That's right.
But all the rest will be nation.
You know, look the at... The sea is Canada.
I was just talking for Six Nations alone. Six Nations, for all the money Canada owes just for this 6 miles.
It's their strategy to keep it all tied up in land claims. Why should we spend money for land that's already ours? Yours? Take it.
Or make negotiations with land that's already ours. We'll just give this back to you when we already know it's ours.
To me, there's nothing to negotiate here. There's nothing to negotiate
Canada
here.
Canada can't negotiate. That's the thing. Okay. Like, that's the only thing they can hold on us, is because they think Canada thinks they own this land.
Mm-hmm.
But if they realize Canada, it's all native territory.
Mm-hmm.
From Nova Scotia all the way down to BC, same as the United States.
From sun up to sunset. Yeah. Sunrise to sunset, it's all indigenous native territory.
It's all native territory. So how are they gonna try to play this negotiation when we already own the land?
Mm.
Give us something else. Let's see what else you can do. When Canada first came here, they thought we were dumb because we didn't understand the meaning of money. We hunted our food. We hunted for our clothes. Everything we needed came from the ground, from the earth. And that's where Canada messed up, same as the United States. They didn't realize, because we didn't need it right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think, okay, these people need education. Let's educate them. Well, they start educating us with the genocide first.
Look what they did in the States. They got rid of all the buffalo. They just hunted them. Just
killed them just because.
Annihilated the buffalo because the natives were living off of the buffalo. No, look at
kill a buffalo, they die.
Yeah, the media. I don't know why. I don't know. They're just gone all this way. I think a lot of that is education. Their education towards the native people.
Mm-hmm.
You go through school, you don't hardly hear anything about the natives. We do because we are natives.
Yeah.
We talk to amongst each other and we conduct our ceremonies as usual, and then. But we go to school, we don't hear nothing in our history books. we see these little parts and little teepees in a book. You know, we don't own teepees. We're longhouse people. Yeah. We live off the land.
The prairies.
It's out west. That's, you know, that's a different style of this territory. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it stems from when they got here, and when the west was wild, they're saying west was wild. They see the teepees, and they projected that from here to England to a different countries, saying this is how we live, and this is the Indian, what the war bonnet and the horse riding back. So all the people from different countries wanted to come here and stake their land, stake their future. Well, it's not much of a future. We're going to take it back. The natives are going to stand up and get what's rightfully ours.
Our birthright back.
Our birthrights, and our children are going to live better for it. You know, we've gone through a lot, and we don't want our children to go through this. Mm-hmm. We don't want our grandchildren to go through this. We never hear anything like that in the media. We never hear anything like that in the education system. All you hear is we were annihilated or destroyed. The cholera, they send us blankets and cholera and bread and cheese and, you know, that type of thing.
But, what did you guys think of on Victoria Day when people in Caledonia dropped off bread and cheese?
It just shows exactly how ignorant they are.
I was going to say that.
Like, they haven't, they, it's not their fault, really. I don't blame the people. I blame the fact that what they're learning in school. It's something that we have to start pushing. And like, on the reserve, our children know their truth. They know who they are, what they came from. Like, when you read the books in high school, I remember in high school, and they're talking about Custer's Last Stand, and that all those, it said the savages put a bow and arrow through his ears. It don't explain why, just because they're savages. You ask any native and they'll tell you it was because he didn't listen when they were telling him not to do that.
You know, people out there that don't know what's going on, you know, read up on it. Read about it. Listen to what people are saying. Keep your mind open and look at what's happening. And you live here. Why don't you stand up and do something about it? You know, you got your lives. You're riding around, driving to work every day. You're mad at the traffic jams. There's going to be more traffic jams if people don't talk about what's going on. I'm sure that at one time in the non-native's life, you've come across a native. You've come across people that are oppressed like us. Just many thanks that your eyes and ears are open now. You know, just keep an open mind and help us. Help the native people to get their land back. We want more land back. We're not just taking little bits and pieces here. We're continuing on our lives. We're growing, just like the communities around us are growing. So we want what everybody wants. Sovereignty. I think sovereignty plays a lot of into it. How do you achieve sovereignty? Everybody has the information. Information is the key in our language, our traditional ways, our songs. You know, there's a lot of things that go on here in this camp, and we conduct ourselves as natives, as people that are working together for a future. And I wish that everybody could see that. You know, if everybody could see what goes on here and how we conduct ourselves, there'll be this place, this whole country, and all the country will be much better for it because of how we treat each other. Try to achieve sovereignty, achieve our way of life to continue. Again, many almost, thank yous.
But do you think that this land reclamation operation is changing a lot of people?
It's changed me. I don't know, I can't speak for anybody else, but it's changed the way I think nowadays.
How do you think?
Well, I don't know, it's the way I am.
More positive.
Yeah, more positive thinking.
It's my nephew.
I would just go drinking and shit all the time, end up in jail. And ever since I've been here, I quit.
You have a meaning for your life.
And I found it.
It's changed me. The way I look at it is, because this community used to be divided. Six Nations used to be divided, like band council government, the elected government, or confederacy. And we stayed that way, divided. But it don't matter now. At that point, it don't matter if you're elected government, you're a Christian, you don't believe in it, or you're Longhouse. It don't matter who you are. We all came together and united again. You know, our reserves not divided no more. And we have our other brothers and sisters from different reserves, and they united with us. And it shows around here, you know. It changed the way I, more or less the way I think and the way I am. Because like I said, I used to drink too. I drank 6 years straight. And it's actually got me to looking after what happened when my grandma died to here and what I've achieved, and it was nothing. But now I got something to look forward to, you know? Something to finish this off, because we don't walk away from nothing that's not done. Mm-hmm. I was always told, finish everything you started. So, you know, and it's pretty good. You know, you feel a lot, you feel more confident in yourself, that's what it is. It's the confidence and the unity, you can feel it.
Because I hear a lot of people talking about how ever since they come here, you know, they changed. Because I hear a lot of people talking about that. Because mm-hmm. They realize it took it. Like, actually, who they are, and what meaning life is, I guess. Stand for their rights and stuff.
So, like, a clearer vision of what you see. Mm-hmm. Instead of wondering, where do you go, where do you belong? You kind of, mm-hmm. It's like, this is who I am, I know. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we all lose track of that, and it just slapped you right in the face. Mm-hmm. Like it or not, it slapped you in the face. This is who you are.
Like, I never realized how big this was until I got here, right? And I found out more about what's going on and everything. Just made me stay here. Yeah. And every time I leave, I always just want to come back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can't stay too long because everyone was wondering what's going on here.
Those people that are sitting by the radio, sitting by the TV, watching,
you want something?
Sitting on a computer, you know, just get away from that for a little while. Come down and see what's going on. You feel stuck in a house, you know, you feel stuck around your community. Just come out and see what's mm-hmm. happening.
Yeah.
You know, just open your eyes and your ears to what's happening, and you'll see and you'll hear, and then you'll understand. Just a small piece of what's happening. You know, there was a time that everybody goes through a hardship. You know, everybody goes through strife, you know. Let's come back to where you don't have to be like that. You know, come out and just be united. Unite with people that are trying their best. That's mainly what I'm doing, is trying my best. Mm-hmm. If the camp, I mean, what's going on here? It's not a camp. I don't think it's a camp for me. I mean, we have police that may come in that we keep thinking about. But we're living. This is life. We're living what we've set out to do. I mean, right now I consider this sovereignty. We're conducting ourselves and we're running programs, we're helping each other. This is our land, we know it is. We're using this land. We're using our language. This is sovereignty. I mean, people come here and we speak with them and we govern ourselves the best we can. We know what we have to achieve and we're going towards it. We've achieved something right now, and now we're just growing from it. It's a seed in the ground, and it's gonna come up, and it's gonna grow strong. some of these trees they cut down around here. I think that was symbolic to what happened. The power company cut down this big tree down on our territory over here. They continue to cut these trees and no regard to how old they are and what strength these trees have. And that shows us the lack of respect that the government has, the lack of understanding of who we are. So of course, when we see things like that, we're gonna stand up and say, look, enough, we're sick of it. We need to shake that from us and continue. Work together and be sovereign like we are here. All these other territories, they say that they're not sovereign. Well, I think they are, because they're working together. We're all working together. If we set our mind to something and work together for it, 2-3 people, you know what that can accomplish? I just say again, Yawas, and thank you.
Thank you.
On Monday, June 5th, an OPP cruiser was found on the reservation of Six Nations. We spoke to Nishka on the incident. Can we talk about a little bit of what happened on Monday when an OPP was found on the res, when they're not allowed to be on the res, they have no jurisdiction on Six Nations res, and the OPP was found. You were sitting in headquarters. Do you want to just give a little update about what happened?
I was sitting in headquarters, and one of the men called in, and they said that there was an OPP in the reserve on Cayuga and Sixth Line. The OPP, they have passage on Argyle Street, which is the Highway 6, which is like, you know, the Argyle Street that crosses, you know, in front of the whole entire blockade. They have the rights to that road, but what they don't have the rights to is actually coming into the reserve of Six Nations. And that's going down Sixth Line. And there was two OPP cruisers that traveled down to Sixth Line, and they got intercepted by our men. And our men, you know, they quickly surrounded them, you know, to, like, you know, prevent them from going back to circling around the reserve. And our men and women came together, and with the support and the help of the Six Nations police, they actually came out and they charged these two OPP, you know, cruisers for trespassing, because, you know, like, this is a no-go zone. So what happened is that these two police cars, they were escorted from Cayuga and Sixth Line back to Argyle Street. And in this timeline, there was a bunch of OPPs that, you know, that got the call. So it was a bunch of OPPs, you know, like, coming down the highway. When they came down, we chased them out. We took them out and they went away, and that was it. We took them out again. They tried to come into our land again while we chased them out.
Following a few incidents that occurred on Friday, June 10th, in which a racist couple in a vehicle spouted racial slurs and tried to run over two men at the front gate of the reclamation site and resulted in physical confrontations and the confiscation of their vehicle, tensions between the people of Six Nations and Caledonia were heightened to a large degree. On that very day, a U.S. Border Patrol vehicle who was gathering intelligence around the site was also seized by the warriors. As the situation turned violent, the mainstream media has again portrayed the Haudenosaunee as terrorists. The police have laid charges on 7 people, ranging from robbery, theft, and even attempted murder. The man who tried to run over the two men at the front gate has not been charged with anything, and the U.S. Border Patrol have not commented on what they were doing on the territory. On Monday, June 12th, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy Council returned to the negotiating table only to be faced with another ultimatum. Confederacy Chief Alan McNaughton was told that the negotiations were ending until the people of Six Nations removed the barricades on Highway 6 and the railway line. After a meeting in which hundreds of people from Six Nations as well as the people at the site attended, it was decided to bring down the said barricades. In a move that has upset many people who have manned the barricades for months, the barricades on Highway 6 and the railroad track have now been removed. However, the site of Douglas Creek Estates remains to be reclaimed land with a constant presence of Haudenosaunee people. While the size of the perimeter has decreased, no one has moved off of the land that was reclaimed on the 28th of February. For CKUT Radio and Beyond, this report was produced by Fiona Becker from the Land Reclamation Site on occupied Haudenosaunee territory.